Chapter 8. Malaghurst. He opened his mouth to scream. Dust. He could taste dust and the smoke of campfires. He tried to stand and realized that he was already standing. He turned and looked at where the voice had come from. Horace Lupercal stood next to him, hands resting on a balustrade of white marble. The engine fires of starships marked the night sky above them. Lights twinkled on the dark plain beneath the high balcony they stood on. A wind stirred the flames of a torch that burned in a bracket beneath them.
"Lord," began Malaghurst.
"What are you doing, Mal?" asked Horace without looking up.
Malaghurst was about to speak, but then paused. He looked around. He touched the stone of the balustrade. It was hard and unyielding. He looked at his gauntlet. Grey-white ceramite encased his fingers.
"You should not be here," said Horace.
"Where is here, my lord?"
Horace straightened, a frown darkening his features for a second. Malaghurst realized that the Primarch was arrayed not in the storm green of the Sons of Horus, nor the black of the Master of the New Imperium. His armor was the white of days long past, the white of the Lunar Wolves.
"It is Alanor, Mal," said Horus. "Can you not see? It is Alanor, and tomorrow my father will do me great honor."
Malaghurst looked up at Horus. The face was just as... No, it was not. It was somehow stronger, untouched by the concerns that had been there on the eve of the triumph. It was Horus serene, the image of what should have been, rather than what was. He watched as the night filled the quiet of the plain, and he stood alone.
"War Master," breathed Horus.
"I am to be called War Master, Mal. Tomorrow, here, in this place, my father will pass command of the Great Crusade to me."
Malaghurst blinked. The sensation of the wind on his skin felt real, very real, like the edge of something sharp pressed into his skin.
"He says that he needs to return to Terra. There are matters that he needs to attend to."
Matters. The word slid out and peeled away in the wind.
"He takes Rogel with him."
"Sire?"
"Total command. Complete authority to conquer by my own hand or others." "Such an honor, Mal. Such a show of trust."
"Sire, I am not here."
"Then why does it feel empty? A task unfinished to be tidied away."
Malaghurst stepped closer.
"Lord, this is not real. Alanor was long ago. There is not much time."
Horus's head swung around. The dark sky shuddered to red dawn, and then to brilliant blue. A burning sun arced across the sky. The plain of lights became a sea of faces and the flash of armor. The balcony shook with the tread of titans. War horns blared, the sound driving away the wind. The might of mankind marched and cheered as the sun raced into darkness, and the stars lit red in the returned night. And Horus was no longer clad in grey-white, but loomed, a darkness given form by the glint of edges and the fraying of shadow.
"Malaghurst," breathed the War Master,
his voice rolling and blending with the cry of war horns. Malaghurst stepped back. The air was gone from his lungs. Heat was scorching his flesh. Pressure squeezed his bones. He could hear laughter, high and shrill, piercing his mind. Then the War Master was turning away, black against a sky that rolled with red thunderclouds.
"You send this shade? What mockery do you make of yourselves?"
And he laughed, though Malaghurst heard the hollowness in the thunder. Horus's armor was still the grey-white of the Lunar Wolves, but now it was streaked with soot and blood. The balcony was gone. The ground beneath him, the grey granules of a city made ash by a firestorm.
Lord!
He called.
Lord, listen to me! I am Malachurst! I am your servant!
Horus turned his head. Malachurst almost fell.
You are a lie! No one is here! This is the wasteland of the gods.
Horus looked up, and suddenly his presence seemed to shrink, to become something closer to a man. The shadows drained into the features of his face, the buzzing heat of his presence cooling. The red clouds and the spirals of ash froze. He looked at Malachurst, and where there had been fire, Malachurst thought there was now pain in the Primarch's eyes.
Mal? It is I, Lord, said Malachurst.
But you cannot be here.
Lord, do you remember the vengeful spirit? Your wound?
But Horus was shaking his head.
The vengeful spirit was long ago.
No, sire, said Malachurst. It is now. At this moment, you sit on your throne, and I am there with you. Do you not remember?
Remember, said Horus. I remember everything. I remember the earth turning under the first plough. I see the first sword rise from the quench water. I hold the ember of the dying sun in my hand.
You were wounded.
The wolf bit deep, but not deep enough. A scratch. A reminder that even my brothers still have teeth.
Malachurst shook his head.
It opened again at Peter Garman. You were bleeding.
You were dying.
Yes.
Malachurst paused.
You still are.
Horus did not reply.
Alanor, said Horus slowly.
And around them the clouds and ashen wind stirred for an instant, and then were still again.
Alanor.
You remember, then? You remember the orders you gave?
The Primarch frowned, and for a second the shadows grew again, veins spidering under skin.
Orders? No. But Alanor waits for me out there. It waits for me.
Horus began to walk. The ash was silent under his tread, the grey distance reaching before him. Malachurst felt his own thoughts swirl.
Alanor waits for me.
Despite all he knew of the warp, and all the steps that he had taken to reach this point, he felt uncertain. Had he really been on the vengeful spirit? Was he there still, bleeding on the floor? He began to walk after his war master.
Sire, what is happening?
Horus looked at him. The distance of the frozen expanse clung to his eyes.
There are prices, Mal. Prices that have to be paid. I have to go.
You cannot mean...
I am not dying.
He was still walking. The curtain of ash blurred his shape. The wind gusted back into force. Malachurst raised a hand as burning embers stung his eyes. He blinked. Horus was a fading smudge in the swirl, moving further away.
Sire!
I am not dying, Mal,
came Horus's voice, a thread coming from out of sight.
I am fighting.
Lyak. The spectre shrieked into Lyak's mind. One of the six eyes in his mask cracked. He roared a name of unmaking. Fire wreathed his armor and staff. The spectre spun past him. It was a nothing. A sketch of a fast movement and a screaming face. It still had claws, though. Its touch grazed through Lyak as he swung his burning staff. Ice exploded through him under its touch. His skin split and bled. His mind was a spiral of images and voices.
You are a pure soul, Lyak.
You are a hollow man.
What is your name?
His mind called names and formulae, pouring their bladed shapes through his memory. Nothing answered. Nothing. He was falling.
Your gods have forsaken you.
You were brought only as a sacrifice.
Why do you think they are blessed as martyrs?
The flesh of his face was burning. The metal of his mask was writhing. The hooks on the inside were teeth biting into his flesh. His staff was falling from his hand. His mind spun and spun without center. His hands came up to his mask.
Who were you? You must have been someone once.
I am no one.
The mask came free in his hands. Blood poured from the clawed ruin of his face. The mist was a wall pressed against his eyes. The fire wreathing his armor guttered.
Now, said a distant cry in the wind. Now you really are ours.
He looked up. A face was looking down at him. It was young, but made strong by gene alchemy rather than time. A single black flame marked each of its cheeks. The eyes were dark. Ash-grey armor ringed its neck.
I do not know who you are,
he gasped, in a voice that did not sound like his.
Oh, but you do, replied a figure. I was born within the light of the star that shines on Terra. That light, it used to come through the viewports when the station came out of eclipse.
Lyak listened, frozen in place by the figure's words.
Even through all the dust and grime, you could see the light. They used to say that it was dangerous, that if the film on the crystal was damaged, that the light would kill. It didn't matter. What was dying compared to seeing that light? I was alone then, a child growing to a man without memories of those that made me, just the instincts that had kept an innocent soul alive in a void-bound city of rust.
Be silent,
he snarled, tasting the weakness of the words even as they came to his tongue. The grey-armoured figure did not move, its face tranquil. Lyak could not look away. That still gaze was the world, the words louder than thoughts, softer than ash.
They found me. I was the last alive. They asked me if I believed in gods.
Gods. They had come because of the gods.
The gods were everywhere. There were the shrines at every passage junction piled with offerings, scraps of cloth, bright strings of pressure washers, tiny bones. Under the rubbish, you could see the gods. They were made of old glass, dusty metal and wires. There were hundreds of them. Kaldura, the giver of breath. Sunesh Janek, the lady of lightning. Voltion, the beginner, and so on. Their names gibberish, but their power total. Their priest-gangers rattled with amulets. You could hear it when they came for a killing. Sacrifice, they called it, but it was just murder. The only thing I could remember from before I was alone was a priest-ganger with a star inked on his face and a pendant of blood swinging from a cord on his knife arm.
Lyak thought he saw images flower with the words, fractured, stained glass visions of a boy who lived in shadows.
All of that ended when they came. Everything became fire, and the gangers screamed as they burned. They found me because I came out of hiding to watch the gods burn. I was weeping. They saw me. I did not run. They were huge. Giants in grey with fire in their fists. They did not kill me, even though they had killed everyone else. They asked me why I wept.
The figure reached out a hand, the fingers open, as though to run them over Lyak's cheek.
I told them. They took me with them. They changed me. They remade me. And I saw the true light of the sun and burned false gods. I was given purpose, and I found myself in the flames. I had the truth, and that was all that mattered. I do not,
gasped Lyak. He was a creature of control, his world built of power, but in that moment he felt flayed, his mind empty of the will to resist.
I do not know you.
No, said the figure.
You are a slave, a bearer of an empty name. A creature, where once there was a man. It would be kind to say that this is a blessing, that you will have peace.
Blyak could see through the fingers. But I was never kind, was I? A silver dagger sliced through the spectral figure's throat. Blackness boiled through it. It slid backwards, bulging and billowing like smoke caught in a gale. A high shriek rose, ululating as it echoed and echoed. A real, physical hand came out of the mist and grabbed Lyak's arm. He rose, muscles responding before his mind had formed the judgment. He looked up into the blank gaze of Hebeck as the blade slave pulled him to his feet. "Move!" said Actea. His blade slaves stood to either side of the oracle. She still had the crystal bottle in her hand, but she was turning her head, scanning the mist with blind eyes. The silver dagger in the other hand was tarnishing as he looked at it. His staff was still in his hand, his mask in the other. He looked at Actea.
"It is all right," she snapped. "I can't see your precious face, remember?"
He brought the mask up, and it clamped back into place.
"Phantasms,"
he snarled, as his thoughts reformed.
"Follow fast,"
said Actea. She began to run. Lyak followed, pacing the woman after only two strides.
"Where is the Primarch?"
called Lyak.
"Where we all are, Hollow One," she said, panting. "Lost!"
Volk. The lightning crows speared into the dark. Volk's helmet display lit with target runes. The oncoming swarm was a pulsing cloud of threat markers. Beyond them, the dust seemed to coil and billow. Ochre and emerald clouds folded into ghost faces, eyes shining with the fire of withering stars. Warships surrounded the Ironblood's fleet in a loose cage. Volk's tactical feed registered 25, and another 10 ghosted at the edge of Orspec's range. Scabs of crusted growth hid what form they had once possessed. Some were fusions of craft, hulls welded together by metal that had grown through them like cancerous bone. Others had flowered with bulbous tumours that nested gun emplacements in open cysts, and all of them were vomiting ordnance and assault craft into the void.
"A lot for us to kill,"
Argonus's voice crackled over the vox. A glance over Volk's left shoulder found the emissary's interceptor outlined in blue, synchronized squadron data spinning in a halo around it. The craft was a Ziphon, smaller and faster than Volk's Lightning Crow, but with a smaller payload. And 78611 was fully armed. The magazines of the Legion might be almost drained, but if they did not survive this engagement, then it would not matter how few bullets they had left.
"Well, let's hope you're still as good a killer as you were," said Volk.
"And you, brother,"
said Argonus. Volk blinked at the blank sincerity in the words. Volk had not been ordered into the fight, but he did not need to be. He was a warrior, and before anything else, he existed to fight. Perturabo had not commented on his choice. He was not sure if the Primarch even thought of it as an important detail. He had been pulling himself into his strike fighter when Argonus's voice had clicked in his helmet vox.
"I will have your shadow, Iron Talon,"
he had said, the old call sign, an evocation of a time that existed now only in memory.
"As you will,"
Volk had replied. In the void, Volk felt the roar of engines tingle down his spine as they pushed to the edge of the engagement envelope. Dozens of other craft were expanding out from the Iron Warrior's ships to meet the enemy swarm. The warships were coming about, locking into a diamond formation, guns charged but not yet firing. At the edge of Volk's helmet display, a timer was counting down to the warp translation.
"Targets 285 by 357,
said Argonus.
"I see them. Lock and engage."
Argonus's interceptor peeled over. Starlight caught the eagle feathers etched in gold on the black and green fuselage. Volk matched the move. It felt familiar, like picking up an old sword. Out here, he did not have command of a grand flight. All of his brothers had remained on Crade. If they would ever reach the muster at Ullinor, he did not know. He should have felt diminished, he knew, but he did not. As the chime of weapon locks filled his ears and the force of his turn pressed into his flesh, he felt suddenly as though something had briefly been returned to him. Three pinpricks of light sparked in his sight, bracketed in amber. He blinked. A magnified view unfolded in his left eye. Each of the dots was a single craft, all of them several times the size of either his or Argonus's machines.
"Three targets coming in fast, split and cut," he said into the vox.
Argonus flipped his interceptor into a wide curve that would cut across the enemy craft as they came on. Volk split in the opposite direction. Hostile weapon locks chimed in his ears. Behind him, the first munitions from the enemy fleet were punching through the sphere of fighters and burning towards the Iron Blood. The fleet's turrets opened up. Fire gridded the dark. Torpedoes exploded. Plasma painted the night. Volk's three targets accelerated. Ragged cones of fire breathed from their engines. They were not evading, he realized. None of the enemy craft were evading. The entire enemy fleet was closing on the Iron Blood and its sisters, shrinking the sphere around them. They could not survive, Volk realized. Even with greater numbers, they were running straight into the Iron Warrior's guns. Whatever kills they took would be bought at the cost of their annihilation. It was a plan that made no sense. Turrets on the three enemy craft pivoted. Volk slammed 78611 over into a spiraling roll. A storm of lasfire reached for him. He was already spinning. The targets were live in front of his eyes, bracketed between him and Argonus's interceptor. Target locks chimed in his ears. His fingers squeezed the fire control. Rockets blasted from his wings. On the opposite side of the trio, Argonus loosed a cluster of munitions and slammed his interceptor into a climb. Volk mirrored him a second later. The rockets ran to their targets and punched the enemy craft from the void. Corroded armor and bond growth vanished in spheres of dirty light.
"Simple,"
breathed Argonus over the vox, as the pair slid back into formation.
"Does killing your own legion give you pride, brother?"
The volume of space around them glittered and strobed with explosions. The running counter at the edge of Volk's sight was flashing down towards the moment that the fleet would be able to dive back into the warp.
"You're a fool," growled Argonus. "Whatever these creatures are, they're not my legion." "You're so certain?" "What are they trying to do?"
asked Argonus, as though not hearing Volk. Volk was about to reply when the sphere of space beyond the canopy flexed and distorted.
"Look at the stars," called Argonus.
Volk looked. The stars had gone. The coiled gas clouds had swallowed the dark. Ember-red luminescence pulsed in the murk, and there was no longer merely the ring of rust-crusted warships and the burning swarm of ordnance. There were shadows in the depths, vast and great shadows, shadows that moved like the silhouettes of sea creatures rising from the point in deep water where no light reaches. The Iron Blood began to fire its main guns. New suns burst through the murk. Macro shells struck the void shields of enemy ships. Energies flared, splashing into the dark as multiple shield layers collapsed in a stuttering flash. The rest of the Iron Warrior's fleet opened up. Three bloated ships died, torn apart, battered with fire, scattered in flames. But the dark beyond the flames was not black space. It was a skin. A transparent skin over a black eye looking in. The swarm of oncoming torpedoes surged on through the wall of explosions, burning like a swarm of insects flying through candle flames. Volk felt heat crawling over his flesh. He was sweating. He could feel the droplets squeezing from his skin. His vision was blurring.
"You're too weak," breathed a voice in his skull
that might have been a memory, or might have been his own.
"Iron warriors die with the iron in their veins running rust. They die without bullets in their guns. They die as they always did and always will, like the weak and unwanted children of war." "But what is the choice?"
answered a voice in his thoughts, quiet and measured in amongst the storm.
"We have no choice and never have. We are the tools of others' conquest. Broken and cast aside when used. We have nothing else we can be."
"There is always something else," answered the voice in his skull. "You just need to let yourself become it. Brother!"
The shouted warning pulled the world back around him. Red lights burned through the cockpit. Impacts shivered through the fuselage. Something hit the canopy. Cracks spiderwebbed out from the impact. He was flying into a tumbling wall of debris. His finger was on the firing stud of his las cannons, draining their charge. He could feel the heat of destruction in his nerves, in his soul. He realized that he could not stop, that he had been flying directly into the oncoming enemy without being conscious of it. He had been killing. The debris hitting him was the remains of his victims. The chrono at the edge of his sight was draining down to the time when the iron blood would be ready to translate into the warp. He should be flipping 78611 over and burning hard to reach the ship. He should be leaving the sphere of battle. He did not, though. He could not. Something else, something that had been curled in the root of his altered flesh, was holding him where he was. He did not want to endure. He did not want to bear the trials that others could not. He wanted to be the truth of what he had always been, what he truly was.
"What are you doing?"
called Argonis. The nerve connections to 78611 burned. Missiles and cannons were his fingers. An enemy craft flicked across Falk's vision. He fired. Lasfire reached out from him. Explosion. Light. Bright behind the fever smear. He was spinning. Engines roared with the exhalation of his lungs. Volk could see the rest of the fighter screen turning, engines bright as they burned the last of their fuel and ran back to the embrace of their motherships. He should be with them. He had enough fuel to make it. Enough time. A voice.
"Break off!"
roared Argonis in his ear.
"Break off now!"